Even the one recording my bowels.
What is that supposed to be?
It is cervelle en matelote.
In English, what would I be eating if I ate that?
Oh, calves' brains in red wine.
Red wine and what else?
It's impossible. It's a secret, Mr. Burnett.
You don't have any secrets from the Department of Health, Henri.
It's a rat turd. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Everybody, welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. Episode. Oh, my notes crashed. That's not good.
My favorite episode yet.
Right when I hit it, it went. I'm sorry. Chrome has taken a dump. Would you like to restart it? Yes, I would. All right, here it
Maybe
is.
You should
reloading.
Just bought it.
Gosh, dang it. All right, anyway, it's Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. I already said that, didn't I? Oh, what? Hello? What's happening?
You relaunched Chrome, and you had a tab open that automatically played music.
That's not good.
Well, Scott Johnson recovers his drawers. Welcome to episode 225. I'm sorry, 226.
There it is. I found it. Okay. I'm Scott Johnson. Joining me tonight, Brian Spock looks pretty good in Tweed Dunaway.
Hey, well, Todd, it looks like you proved me wrong once again. I said you couldn't cross-pollinate a dog and a banjo-playing hobo. Just too much blues, sober, slobber, and booze. But here I am starting this freaky-ass thing. A dog with a human head? WTF, Todd.
Yeah.
WTF. Man. Also, on a totally unrelated note, the guys upstairs want me to kill you.
No explanation for that dog, by the way.
Explanation needed.
Or
he
the weird
it.
Banjo music that you hear. The only time you ever hear that music is when that dog shows up.
I'm kind of nonplussed. Sure. I mean, I know it's a famous scene, if it, maybe even for that reason, but we'll get to all that. Of course, Randy also with us. Randy, if that's not a rat turd, then eat it, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott, Brian.
Yeah.
Randy. I'm so glad to be here with all three of you. I miss you when we go for a few days without getting together like this. This is one of the best parts of my week, each and every week.
Interesting. Wait. Are you pod people?
Hold on, Spock. What's going on? You got a head sucker? What's happening here? Finally with us, Brian, that's a magic axe, Ibbot.
Hey, Bill. How's it going, Larry? Good. Me and some of the pods are going to go head down to Sutherland's house and make duplicates of him and Goldblum. Oh, holy cow, Larry. The amount of pod material you're going to have to use alone for the noses, man. I know. And we already had to duplicate Leonard Nimoy. All I can say is I'm really glad Dustin Hoffman and Adrian Brody weren't in this movie.
Nice. Good one. That would be a lot of pod cartilage.
Cartilage.
A lot of pod nose.
Yeah. And ears. They all have big ears and big noses.
They do. And they were all, except with the exception of those last two people you named, are in this movie. And not only that, but it's Goldblum's first movie ever.
Yeah.
Was this here movie.
And he had his mannerisms down in the first movie.
Yeah. Like, yep. Yep.
It's almost as if he changes the scripts when he gets a movie. No, I have to say it like this. You know what I mean? I have to say it like this.
Yeah. I think they adhere to who he is, not the other way around.
So, I think totally
and that is fine with me, man. Like, that's the guy you want. He's not the one we need, but he's the one we want.
Sure.
And he's not too many years after this would do one of his Jurassic finest Park. Moments. Well, that was later. But in like 84, you got him in Silverado as a city slicker gambler man. With a knife in his pocket or a knife in his sock. And he's fantastic in that movie. So if you haven't seen that Western in a while and you've forgotten that Jeff Goldblum is all up in that, do yourselves a favor and see it. All right.
But he's always Jeff Goldblum. That's the thing.
Yeah. Never not him. Right.
Right. It's just impossible. He's like Christopher Walken. You cannot get a different performance out of him.
Let's name a few more. We got Christopher Walken is a great one. You got your, who's the kid from,
Shite.
No.
Shia LaBeouf?
No. From Michael Cera. That's who I was trying to say.
Oh, okay. Michael Cera is always Michael Cera. Yeah. That's true.
Who else you got like that? There's a few.
Seth Rogen is always Seth Rogen.
Yeah, Seth Rogen.
I'd say we could go with all the guys in Superbad. That Christopher Mintz-Plasse guy and the Jonah Hill. Although he's trying really hard to play different roles.
Jonah Hill? Are you talking about the Jonah Hill?
What are you talking about? The Jonah Hill is good, though, because we all like that. And so when he's in movies of larger import, I would say, than Superbad or something, we still like it so much that it fits well. But it's still him.
Did you guys see The Gatsby, The Great Gatsby, the
new
one?
No.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
he was fantastic in that.
I didn't know he was in that.
I forgot he was in that. Yeah.
Yeah, and see, and I'm from the trivia I've read, and I don't know if any of this is true or not. This is just what I've read on the internet, that he did it for base pay or something because he wanted the role so bad. Mm. And he just knocked it out of the park.
Well, he was great in Moneyball.
Wait, are you talking about Gatsby or are you talking about Wolf of Wall Street?
Wolf of Wall Street. I meant Wolf of Wall Street.
DiCaprio movies, they're all interchangeable.
Wealthy DiCaprio.
He was really good in Who Ate Gilbert's Grape or whatever.
That's him.
All right.
Mama's too fat.
No wonder I don't remember him being there. I looked up, I was like, wait a minute.
I know that movie.
What were you saying, Randy? What were you saying?
I'm having a really hard time naming a name or the movie he was in. Mm. Who have we named that is young and
Michael Cera?
Yeah,
there's others though, right? Aren't there others? There are others.
He's done.
No, there's got to be more.
And I'm just saying,
Jeremy Piven. Jeremy Piven's the same guy.
I was trying to think of the movie Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh yeah, that's the one.
Mm-hmm. Which is the quintessential Cera. It's the if you can't play this any differently, then there's no way you're going to be different in Juno or Superbad or whatever.
And we're all okay with it. Like, I'm fine with it. Let him be that guy. It's fine.
And Franco. Franco's like that, too.
James Franco's kind of like that. Although, I don't know. I saw that weird-ass thing with the girl, with all the girls from Disney on it. What's it called? The one where they're all surfing over the summer. Spring Breakers.
Yeah, Spring Breakers. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that weird piece of trash. I didn't like it.
I never watched that one.
I thought it was terrible. It was trying to be artsy and it came off.
It was supposed to be all dark. Was it?
It was dark. It was dark.
No, it was a bunch of white girls.
It was dark and it was dark and dumb. It was dumb. But he was insanely good in it.
I think sometimes it's two guys. So like, you can't convince me that when you put James Franco and Seth Rogen together, you will ever get a different performance than them in Pineapple Express or This Is the
Freaks.
End or you know, they got a movie coming out, The Interview, right?
Yeah.
I guarantee you they will be precisely as they were in Pineapple Express.
Probably, but the main point with Franco is in that movie he came off like, you guys know who Riff Raff is, right?
He plays the band Riff Raff, which is a YouTube phenomenon or whatever.
I thought he was an MTV dude, isn't he?
Oh, well, that's true. Yeah, he kind of is like bounced back and forth, but most of the people I know.
But he's like he's a white rapper.
Who watches MTV?
Come on, Scott, you got to give some credit here. He's named Alien. It's a really funny portrayal.
Oh, I agree, but it's good. Meaning I'm compelled by. I watch it and go, oh man, this is actually all right.
You didn't like the subject matter.
I hated the movie. I thought the movie sucked, and it's not because
because I have no idea what that is.
I don't mind Spring Break. I don't even mind the concept. You tell me, a bunch of girls go and become basically his
wild drug
henchmen, and there's all sorts of horrible murder and mayhem. That's fine. That sounds like an interesting idea. It's the way it's directed, written, and stuff. It's supposed to be. It's just stupid.
What was the name of that movie where they robbed the bank? Not these girls, but there was like a group of girls and they wore masks and it was kind of like the Point Break for girls. You know what I'm talking about? What was the name of that movie? We need to film
Zach. And they were cheerleaders
What's that called? It's the same idea though, same concept.
Yeah. Point Break for chicks.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, chicks.
So
sugar and
chicks. Jeez. You know, so you can take the guy out of the South, but you can't take the South out of the guy. What'd you say there?
Spring Breakers is made by a guy named Harmony Korine.
Yeah.
And he's very experimental. Like, this was his first big budget or somewhat big budget feature film.
Mm-hmm.
And so
if he's experimental in film, then I'm experimental with food.
Well, I mean, like, do you remember the first time you saw Training Day?
I did.
It was really challenging.
Yeah.
And I felt the same way about Spring Breakers. I've never
seen Training Day.
You should see Training Day.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, just don't expect to come away smiling.
But Antoine Fuqua can make a good movie.
But I just feel this Harmony Korine guy is in the same spot as Antoine Fuqua was with Training Day.
I don't know.
Did you guys enjoy Margot Kidder's performance in this movie? Body Snatchers?
Ah, you mean Brooke Adams, who looks just like Margot Kidder. In fact, my wife came downstairs and goes, she sat down and she goes, what are we doing? I said, I explained what the movie was. And she goes, hey, that's Lois Lane. I said, nope, it is not. It is not her.
I watched the whole movie thinking I was watching Lois Lane.
Oh, I thought she was a lot better looking than
I thought she was Kidder. 2 years younger because...
The strangest conversation we've ever had without letting Fletcher have his say. So here it is. Scott Fletcher's now going to explain what the hell movie we're talking about. Here you go.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers. After noticing that almost everyone around them has suddenly become cold and distant, a group of friends realizes that an alien invasion is underway. I said alien invasion. That's a great name for a movie, but not the word in the script.
I love it. Just keep going, man. You make a mistake, you keep
alien
going.
Invasion.
Yeah,
I'm not re-recording that.
We're being invaded by aliens.
Yeah. All right, so it's the 1978 Invasion of the Body Snatchers. I said last week and have said previous to this episode that the only memory I have of this movie was him finding a rat turd in the soup. And there was some concern.
It's capers.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Capers. And capers look exactly like rat turds. I mean, you could put them side by side and have a hard time telling the difference.
I thought that was a fish. It's not a fish?
No.
I thought a caper was a fish.
No. I thought it was a rat turd.
No, it's like a smaller than a pea.
Yeah, it's like a green pea onion, an onion shaped like a green pea.
So what are the ones?
A legume? Is it a legume?
Is it?
I don't know.
There's an episode of Fawlty Towers where he's running around trying to put
kippers.
Kippers.
The Fawlty Tower thing.
Kippers.
That's
and
a fish.
Capers.
That's a UK.
Damn it. That was it.
Breakfast.
Yeah.
Capers. Kippers. Yeah. You say kippers. I say capers.
A UK breakfast.
No, you don't. Only if you only say that if you're talking about
can we have kippers for breakfast?
Right. Yes. Got it. Okay, not capers.
So my I was bothered because I wanted resolution on that subject, this whole movie.
Did you want to know if it was a turd?
Chicken in the
yes,
bucket.
Because he's asserting that, and I don't understand whether or not he means it, whether he's bluffing or it really, really is. So when they're back at the lab and he's like, you're never gonna believe what I found in the soup, I'm like, what? Come on. Like, give me.
Yeah. Chick in the bucket was the turd in the soup.
I think it was definitely a turd. I mean, I don't think there was even a question about it. The guy wouldn't eat it. He was petrified of it.
Well, he wouldn't because he was buying into Sutherland's bullcrap.
No one would.
No, his rat turds, not his bullcrap.
I just can't. I don't understand this as an establishing point about the character because it actually led me down this path where I don't trust him. I don't know whether he's
right.
You know whether he's a truth teller or not.
I just really want to close this restaurant, so I'm gonna call it a turd, but it's really a caper.
To me, it was an assertion of authority, and it was supposed to establish the fact that he was like an authoritative figure. He got things done. He was business. The problem with that is, because I agree with you, it doesn't actually say anything about his character because outside of that moment, it doesn't exist as a part of his character. He's not like that in any other way.
I disagree. I think he's a dick, and I think that just goes to establish his dickiness. And I really do. I think his power has went to his head, and I think this established a lot in the movie, all the way from the broken windshield where he ran over an old lady and didn't even replace the windshield to the raptor.
My wife goes, "What the hell are we doing?" Right in the middle of the movie, she goes, "What the hell are we doing?" I said, "What do you mean?" I go, "We're watching a movie." She goes, "No, I mean them. Why is that windshield like that?"
Oh,
she couldn't get her head around that.
Because that's true. Like, if you don't see the initial, broken bottle on the windshield scene,
yeah.
The fact that they're just driving around.
We're not going to even talk about this.
She came in late, and I'm like, honey, just watch.
Well, and then doesn't he just get it fixed, like, in the snap of a finger?
No, but that's the thing.
I think it's broken the whole rest of the movie, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was broken throughout the whole movie, and that kept making me think, wow, what kind of guy would go shut down a restaurant over a rat turd but doesn't mind flaunting, broken windshield walls.
I don't think a broken windshield is a health hazard.
Well,
I think it is if it flies off.
I've been pulled over before for having a relatively cracked windshield.
No, this wasn't relatively cracked.
No, this was shattered.
This was
right.
Smashed.
And that's my point. If they're going to pull me over for like what was maybe two long, cracks in a windshield and say,
your crack's too long, sir.
Get that fixed or we're going to have to fine you. It seems like he should have been, impounded. Like that
right,
was,
I agree.
That was like looking through.
He was above the law. I mean, he was even bringing in Leonard Nimoy just to use him for his celebrity because Nimoy couldn't understand why they asked him there to begin with when he starts psychoanalyzing everybody and they all go, stop psychoanalyzing us. And he goes, well, why did you call the psychiatrist at 3 a.m. if you didn't want to be psychoanalyzed? What do you think I was going to give you?
Yeah, I hated his character.
They just wanted to use him for a celebrity.
I hated his character. I really didn't like Nimoy in there at all. And not because he didn't do a fine job. He did. I just don't understand why you needed this guy. I don't like that trope.
You needed one more character to kind of throw away to use as a pod person, you know, because they couldn't have done it with both Goldblum and Alien, whatever.
Oh, Alien. That's right, from Alien.
Yeah. So you're saying during the script writing process, there's a lot of head scratching going, we don't have enough weird.
We need one more disposable character. Well, not disposable, but I mean, we need one more character who can turn that's going to be trusted by the group. He needs to be prominent enough that the audience.
And you knew that Spock was going to, from the very beginning, it was obvious to me. And I haven't seen it so long. I didn't remember any of this, but it was obvious to me. Oh, he's the most skeptical of all this. He's the one that least believes that aliens have come and infested us. Well, then he's definitely going to turn.
He's also such a jerk. And it was frustrating to me because they have the character being very imperious all the time.
Yeah. Smug. He's a smug ass.
You know what I mean?
Smug ass.
Like he's talking to somebody.
McCoy hated his character so much.
Right. In your first introduction to him, he's talking to somebody and she's got a really important thing to interject. And that's what an interjection is, by the way. You stop speaking so this other person can start. And he freaking refuses to allow the interjection. Yeah. You will not speak at this moment.
He's a control. Total control freak. Here. Super dick. Yeah.
Shut up. You're okay. Shut up. You're okay. Don't help her. Shut up. You're okay. You're okay. Shut up.
It was like they were trying to make psychology into some sort of stage magic.
Yeah. That is what it felt like. It was like watching Chris Angel make something disappear up someone's ass. It was stupid.
You forget that 40 years ago, things were different. Like psychology was very mysterious to people still. Mm-hmm. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But they went to a very, very hip bookstore. That was the hippest bookstore I've ever been to.
A hip bookstore with funhouse mirrors.
Right.
Weird stuff.
I did really appreciate that Spock was the deliverer of the boomerang joke.
Yes.
Comes along and says, "You closed my favorite restaurant, Henri's."
Oh, that. Yeah.
Oh, that was amazing.
I didn't catch that. That's hilarious.
And that is all the resolution you got to your chick in the bucket, your turd at the restaurant point was him.
Yeah. It's like a boomerang joke is one that you throw early in the movie and it comes back around later.
And that's all you were ever going to get from that. Now I'm bugged. I wasn't bugged about the rat turd until you mentioned how little we got from it. Now I'm bugged. I'm going to make
it even better if you said, "It always, I love the capers in their crab brain in wine sauce."
Yeah, he should have kept making direct references to it.
Exactly.
Oh, that French waiter.
And the
he's
weird
a real
way
hoot.
Bottles drop from the roof of their parking garage.
That would have been brilliant. All right. So this movie was directed by Philip Kaufman. You know him mostly as the writer of all the Indiana Jones movies.
Nice. Do you think he wrote Bad Date? You think he did that?
Is Bad Date the Bruce Willis thing?
No. The line Bad Date from
Bad Dates.
Bad Dates.
Yeah, Bad Dates, plural. I thought wasn't there a Bruce Willis thing called Bad
Blind
Date?
Oh, yeah,
Blind Date.
Kim Basinger. Yeah.
It may as well have been called Bad Date.
I'm surprised that you can put any two words together and not come up with a movie title at this point. Really.
That's true. It's true. Yeah, that's what they all do.
There should be a movie called Bad Date.
Let's see. Philip Kaufman.
Probably is.
Looking it up.
He is the director of a fair number of movies. Henry and June is decent. The Right Stuff, I loved.
He's done some good stuff. Not a lot, but he's done good stuff.
None of it strikes me as, ooh, what a piece of garbage. But his writer credits, including, sadly, that Crystal Skull movie.
Yeah. And the new one? See that announced?
Yeah, 5. It's been announced, right?
Right.
What's that? Who's in that?
Nobody.
Let's take a look here.
They say Harrison Ford is credited, but come on.
I wonder.
Yeah. Harrison Ford. Rumored.
Maybe. Probably not. But he wrote a whole bunch of other stuff. But you got to give him some credit there. Outlaw Josie Wales. That's a good movie. Raiders. The right stuff he wrote as well. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about this.
Too, right?
Yeah. I'd like to call this guy a caretaker director.
All right.
He's one of the people, one of those directors who
I'll allow it.
Who just tends the grass of the making of the film. He doesn't do anything unexpected.
Yeah,
The camera is never positioned in a challenging place.
Except that one scene where Spock is walking down the street and it's all Batman's cattywampus sideways.
Wait, what? When did this happen?
I know what you're talking about, and I feel like that might have been a happy accident. They might
you
have.
Think so? The camera tilted up. You think the camera accidentally tilted over and they just kept it?
I think that might be the case, because otherwise this is a guy who, it's kind of hard to believe it's a horror movie, you know, because it's directed so straight and even and average, you know, everything about it.
All right, but that ignores the dog and the man face. Can we
okay? No. There's some crazy effed up shit in this movie. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying I don't get the feeling that it was directed that way.
Mm.
Like the script was what it was, and there were people putting some costuming together and some prosthetics together and so on, and decided, well, let's just go for this crazy stuff. I don't see the director sitting in there in wardrobe, you know, saying, let's
I
make
think
sure
this guy's
that-
very, I mean, I think this look, guy is really obsessive compulsive. I think I think each shot is, like you said, he's a caretaker. He's very meticulous about it. Each shot seemed to me to be very, very intentional. So when I saw that skewed shot, I felt like it was totally
there were a lot of moments, like when her chair was spinning, alien girl, when she got up from the chair to see who was outside, right, and it was a mob of pod people, and she got up, and the way that chair spun and they kept the shot going. There's some interesting moves, you know.
I should probably drink my own poison here and you know, say again, back in the 40 years ago, I'm sure a lot of this stuff was crazily experimental, and I'm just not.
Oh, you mean
like putting a mask on a dog and letting him lick it?
Okay, now this is the question about the dog. To me,
not CG, looks better than any CG I've ever seen.
It's true, but it's so non sequitur. It's like, it's as if imagine Benny Hill showed up in the middle of your serious drama dressed as Margaret Thatcher and said, I have me thumb up me bum. Now, if that happened, you would go, well, what is this doing in this movie? It makes no connective sense.
Purely for shock effect, to make the characters act out so they could be chased and then
that's
suddenly
it. Then it's terrible to use that for that. That's a terrible thing to use.
I don't know, man. It scared the crap out of me.
Well, it didn't. It did, but did it?
Well, because you're sitting there going, hey, I can act straight. That's easy. Acting straight, that's no problem. Wait a minute. This is really freaky right now with the dog coming up with the human head face. I might even scream a little bit, or at least
do you jump. Do you think the pod people? Okay, so here's the conspiracy, because they didn't explain it. Do you think the pod people engineered that scene to snuff out the
people with emotions?
Yeah,
I don't think so at all. I think this is what happened. Kiefer, the elder Kiefer, yeah. President Snow,
old man Kiefer, got it
right. When he was walking past the processing dog and hobo, he kicked the pod and blood oozed out of it. He jostled the DNA or something, and something got messed up. I mean, there was an explanation.
It wouldn't like flip the wheels a little bit and say, dog.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we had to take jumps of faith in other parts. Like, okay,
some guys fall asleep on his lawn chair, right?
Right.
Kind of like what happened to Sutherland. But where the pods are coming in, his dog happens to be laying right next to where the pods come in.
Little
and they kind of assimilate both into one.
You think, okay, fair, possible.
Well, Jeff Goldblum's in here. Maybe he had some teleporting equipment.
Exactly. Maybe he potted on. Yes, right.
Just, yeah. This should have been half fly.
Too. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, no. It's a sequel. We didn't even know.
It's a double pod.
I didn't know. I still don't buy it, though. I just think that was really weird. And the music they used for it, it made no sense and didn't connect to it. And
Yeah, me too. This is during the late 70s. We were experimenting in film with sound a lot. I mean, if you remember watching The Exorcist, there was a lot of animal sounds in that. Same in this movie. I think the director was a big fan of that type of filmmaking, and I think he was a very studious filmmaker. And I think he put in a lot of that to make us unsettled. Because basically, all you're saying essentially is, hey, look at this human. How do I convince you this human who looks perfectly normal, how can I convince the audience that it's not, and something's wrong, and something's off.
Yeah,
and that's
it's a weird choice, because usually you can do it with like, oh, that guy's won't stop buttering his toast, or that lady
keeps putting
quarters in the phone or something.
That was the point of my greeting. The minute that somebody isn't themselves, you recognize it, and that's the problem with this movie, is that you're talking about gets overacted, and the character is like, I don't know if that's the the same person. Everybody else knows. The audience knows so well.
That's not my wife.
Well, when when she started to notice that tall young Peter Dinklage is who he looked like.
That's
to me.
Exactly what I wrote. He is so giant Peter Dinklage.
Oh my gosh,
big
totally
Peter
is.
Dinklage. But when he when she went to hug him and then immediately had this feeling that ooh, something's wrong here. This isn't him.
Your insides.
I understand it. Like the whole concept and the reason this movie keeps coming up for remakes and everything else is because it's got this allegory to conformity. We don't want to conform, and when we see uniform confirmation around the whole world, everybody's falling in line, that's bad. We lose our individuality. It's the zombie thing. It's all those things. It's this movie's not really all that different from the message. So I understand it and I get it and I know why it keeps coming up and why it becomes popular again and recycles itself. I just think the dog with the face is just the shitty idea.
Oh my God. I just figured it out thanks to
Wikipedia,
the trivia on IMDb.
Okay.
The dog and the guy in the face is the banjo player.
That's what I
that
said.
He keeps singing. Oh, did you say that?
Yeah, I said in my opening, I kind of bumbled a little bit. I said blues, banjo. And,
I didn't get it either.
I didn't catch that in your opening, and that explains why you hear the banjo music when the dog shows up, and it completely makes sense to me.
So you were right about the banjo player and the dog being proximus to one another, and a pod just assimilated the both.
I guess
right.
So.
After Sutherland kicked it and it goobered it up.
Okay.
Goobered it up.
You know what? I think that's right. I'll bet that's the explanation, pod. But man, they did a terrible job explaining it because I don't know that face from the banjo player. I don't know.
No, we see him twice in the park and that's it.
The music was supposed to help. I mean, here's the scene. Let me just play it here. Here comes the dog. They're sneaking through everyone. Oh, here he is.
And why does it make a pig sound again?
Well, the other good
that
part
is that sound.
What noise would you expect a dog banjo player man hybrid to make?
I was actually expecting a donkey sound, quite frankly.
It's man bear pig. And then my favorite part though is this where he punches the old lady. There you go. Oh, she's man. Down.
He shut her down. He just like absolutely shut her down.
No.
No, not gonna happen.
Sorry, Edna. Nah. it's weird. Now,
did you guys see The Invasion, which was 2007, which was a remake of this same movie?
No, but did you know that chick from Alien is in that one too?
It's Veronica Cartwright.
Yeah. Did you know that Cartwright? Nobody came. she is in three. Hold on. Let's find. I wrote this down somewhere.
I'm sorry. This might not be the right one. This might be something else. There's a more recent one.
She's in three movies. Well, one TV show and two movies with the word invasion in them. And it's this, the remake, and I think 07, or maybe it was 93.
Nicole Kidman and Daniel Craig.
I think I'm thinking of the 93 Body Snatchers, just Body Snatchers. No invasion.
They went straight to Body Snatchers.
Right. That was the one I was thinking of.
And she's in some TV show as well with another show just called Invasion. Has nothing to do with this movie or this idea. Just something else called Invasion, which is awesome. I mean, how would you like if your career was pockmarked with three times you were in an invasion movie? Well, there it is. Veronica Cartwright, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, Cartwright? Invasion, the TV show. It didn't last very long. And The Invasion, which is the other movie. Anyway.
I like Body Snatchers. I saw that. It's from 93 with Meg Tilly. Check it out.
Meg Tilly. Wait. She's the one that makes out with what's her name in that weird Wachowski Brothers movie.
Right. Yeah, that's Jennifer Tilly.
Oh, yeah, Jennifer Tilly. Yeah. Do you remember that scene, though? Good
this
Lord.
Is the big chill.
Gina Gershon.
Yeah. That's
and Bound.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bound. That's it. And that had Joey Pants is in that movie.
That's right.
We have completed the weird trivia circle.
And so's Robert Downey Jr., right? Or is he? Joey Pants was the third leg in that.
In that weird movie. All right. So Sutherland, by the way, insisted on performing his own stunts in the film's climax.
Dude. And boy, did he.
Yeah, that one with the blowing up explosion. He just barely missed that. Did you see that? He barely missed that fire.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you, the simple little stunt that I thought was so amazing was where the two of them run up to and jump into the back of a moving truck. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just a simple little thing, but you realize, okay, these are actors. They're on a wet street because, of course, you're filming. Everything's wet. And they are running up to this truck. Now, he gives her a hand, so maybe she's got it a tiny bit easier. But he's wearing, like, dress shoes.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I couldn't believe I was watching these actors do this.
These people needed track suits and vans so bad. Like both of them. It was terrible. You can't get rid of them. But he, so there's this scene, right, where there's this big fireball erupting from the factory and he missed it barely. They got it all on film.
Donald Sutherland missed it.
I guess he missed his cue because he was there and a little extra longer than he was supposed to.
There's a guy chasing him and it's the perfect way to get that guy off his back. And that guy takes the full brunt of this thing.
He did not. Yeah, that guy. I mean, he's obviously a stuntman, but still, holy crap. But he barely missed it. And still, it says here was seriously injured from the explosion. I don't know what that means.
It means his sperm was all come out crooked after that and he had kefir.
He laid in the hospital going, kefir.
Kefir.
Tell Katniss Everdeen I'm not interested. And,
Kiefer already existed. He was definitely.
Yeah, he was born before me. So he was like 66 or 7 or something.
I'm just saying the explosion was so hard, it like rippled through time. Mm-hmm. is what I'm saying.
He's an ugly guy. My wife also commented as we watched this. She goes,
Sutherland?
Yeah. She goes, is there an uglier guy in old movies? And I said, yeah, I think he is kind of ugly, but he's also got something really compelling about his face. I like him more with lots of facial hair and a big stash and a big beard.
One of those great examples of gotten better looking as he's gotten older.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
You know what I didn't enjoy? I didn't enjoy the mustache he had then because it was very, it's very pubic hair looking and those red lips. All I could think of, that looks like a sideways.
It was a sideways vajayjay is what you thought. Like a vagina with adjacent pubic hair.
When he was kissing Margot Kidder, I was free. I was like, don't.
Yeah. I just wanted to say it all out loud. That's
actors who have gotten demonstrably better looking as they've aged.
I like this. This is a good offshoot.
We're having a hard time with Brad Pitt.
Lou Grant, or not Lou Grant.
No, Brad Pitt actually started out really good looking. I'm talking about, you look back in their early work and you're like, wow, that was a rough face you had there.
Michael Caine.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. All right.
Really?
Yep.
I'll give you that.
He was a spindly goober before, and now he's really distinguished looking. Totally agree with you. I would say Sean Connery looked better as he got older.
Yes, I think
I'm not saying he was ugly when he was younger because he wasn't. It's a different scale for him, but he's. I think he looks so much cooler.
I need you to think of people who were kind of ugly.
Okay.
It gets worse. No, don't even say that.
Ugly people who have gotten better looking.
Yeah.
Okay. Buscemi has not changed, so can't use him.
No, he's...
Can you use...
If you ain't seen old George Clooney, look him up when he was 20. His eyebrows.
We saw him. Yeah, tomatoes.
How about Clint Howard in this? He looked better than he did.
Clint Howard
was in this.
He was the dog, right?
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I take that back. I watched Rob Zombie's Halloween the other day. He's in that. I'm having a hard time not mixing these two up.
Scott, would you please not watch similar movies for Film Sack?
That movie sucked. That's not good. Rob Zombie's not. I don't think he's what people think he is. I think he's kind of bad.
I like his music videos.
Sure.
That's about as far as I want to watch him.
His movies are weird, though.
I got one. Okay. I got an obvious one that we've seen on Film Sack. We've seen him get so much better looking. Freaking Patrick Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure. Great example.
Sure. Although, when he was real young on stage and stuff, he's a good looking. He's a good looking youngster.
We saw the Arthurian, I don't remember which Arthurian movie we watched really early in Film Sack.
Mm.
Oh man, he's a total goober with hair.
Oh, what was that
seem like
called?
In his in between phase?
Excalibur.
God, he was rough looking back in the day.
Yeah,
and I mean, he became one of like the most gorgeous men alive.
Sure.
Very quickly, like just going from like 25 to 35.
Yeah.
Here, I got a picture for you guys. Put it in Skype.
All right. Hold
this
on.
Guy.
Well, it's very visual here. Hold
I'm gonna
on.
End up hanging up on you if I'm not scared. Okay, here we go.
That's funny.
Got it. All right. There it is.
Oh yeah, well,
yeah, young Patrick Stewart,
half hair for Patrick Stewart. Oh, wow, worst look.
That's not a good look.
No, he should have shaved that. He should have embraced it much sooner. Just
peach fuzz on his forehead. It's weird.
I can't think of anybody else. Like there, I know there's others, but I can't think of them.
I think Harrison Ford gets more attractive, but he's always been an attractive man.
No, he peaked in Temple of Doom.
Think so?
He is a badass mother scratcher and looking real good. Like even as a dude, I look at him as a dude who likes ladies. I see him and go, oh man.
Right. I'll also give you another one who I think is going to keep getting even better looking, and that's Bradley Cooper. If you ever find him in like some TV show he was in 95,
used to watch Alias all the time.
Yeah, he wasn't anywhere near as good looking as he is now.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he's got really amazing eyes, And they you know, they constantly style him to draw your attention to his eyes. I just think he's going to get even better and better.
Mark Wahlberg is better looking now than he was.
Oh,
when
definitely.
He was
yeah. Definitely, yeah. Mark Wahlberg was...
I don't know, man. Remember those underwear ads and the Funky Bunch?
Yes. And yeah. His face was ugly.
What about John Bon Jovi? Would he count? He's not really an actor, though.
Sure, he's acted in a couple things.
Some people say...
Yeah,
didn't he help Stella get her groove back?
He helped her get else? Her ate Gilbert's grape or something.
Well, how about Patrick Dempsey?
Yeah, he's... Yeah.
Oh, perfect example. Very good example.
You know who's looking better and better? Michael Dorn.
Do you know who doesn't look?
he's really?
He's looking. He's pretty attractive. Older man as he gets older.
Do you know? Yeah, I would agree with that. Do you know who does not look like he is aged at all? In fact, I'm pretty sure he might be a pod person. And that would be Dylan McDermott. He doesn't look any different today than he's ever looked in his entire life.
There's Michael Dorn, right there for you.
George Clooney, maybe.
George Clooney. We talked about that earlier.
About George.
Did we? We say
Killer Tomato Days.
Really bad looking back in the day.
Matt Damon, maybe?
Well, that Chris Pratt, he's looking better.
Right.
Well, we've had him for 3 years.
It's not a better with age. That's a better since he lost the weight.
But, I mean, we've had him for 3 years. I'm talking about people who've had, you know, at least 20 years.
Matthew Fox. I'll give Matthew Fox a shake there. He's a better looking guy now. Some people say Rob Lowe. I think he looks like a lesbian lady. I don't like his face right now. I don't like him now. He's fine. He's a good actor, but he's not. I don't look at Rob Lowe and go, oh, man, my radar for hot age 50 men is going off the charts. His plastic is showing.
50 plus, yeah. How about Bruce Willis? He's where do you think he's at? Bruce Willis.
He peaked in...
peaked a little bit.
Yeah.
Where did he peak? Probably. Give me a movie. Where did he peak?
Sin City.
Tears of the Sun.
I'd go earlier than Sin City. I would say like... maybe the second or third Die Hard. Maybe second Die Hard.
Bad date.
Really? No, he's looking rough these days.
Yeah, he looks pretty rough. I think he was really good. It looked great in Bad Date. I'm going to stick with that name.
Bad date.
Oh, I'm going to give you another one that always strikes me when I'm thinking about this subject. I'm putting a picture in Skype chat for you. A picture of Nicola Coster-Waldau. That would be Jaime Lannister.
Game
of Thrones. He has really, like, he's always been gorgeous, but he's really managed to get even prettier as he's, and like, I just showed you a picture that's like 15 years old.
Yeah
but why is it on this page where I can buy holiday cards with Jaime Lannister on it?
That's it's what really, you've that's been what searching. Wants.
It's Photo Bucket.
Brian Ibbett.
It's Photo Bucket. They always do this.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, you can do anything. You can have a monkey flipping you off at the zoo and make holiday cards.
I'm going to buy 20 of these cards. I'm going to send them all to Randy.
Right. And now Ibbett's going to be useless for the rest of the show.
Hey, Brian, get them for 99 cents if you use the code INTRO99.
And I just want to say again, Nicola Coster-Waldau. That's just fun to say.
I'm not even going to spell that one. If you're listening, post it in the comment section of who you think, because I'm sure people are out there yelling.
Yeah, I would like to see.
No, people are screaming at
Jim Carrey has gotten better looking with age.
They're screaming one of two things at their iPods or their iPhones right now, or their Android phones. They're screaming either, it's this guy or that guy, or they're screaming, get back to the damn movie you watched.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah, so that's still a thing. The leather half glove that Leonard Nimoy's character wore was deliberately used for the sole purpose of making the character more distinctive and recognizable. He got the idea. Well, he says he got the idea from a friend who wore it to cover a burn on his hand. And that's all I could think of when I saw it was, that looks like someone burned himself. Why are you wearing that?
Isn't that the archer's glove? Isn't that what that is? Is that, or what is that?
That makes sense. Yeah, that, I guess. I have seen archers wear that to keep the string from slicing their palm off.
But wouldn't you wear it not to your dinner parties? Like, would you?
Yeah, but you'd wear it.
If you're a pretentious asshole, right?
Yeah, he has poor character. It's not that he was a bad actor in this. Like, he's fine.
He was on the surface of character. I mean, they didn't have him in enough scenes to develop the character. So, I mean, you had to make him unlikable just from the few scenes you had. And I think they did that.
Perfect. Oh, and if you saw the creepy priest at the beginning swinging on the swing set with the kids.
I was wondering that is
Robert Duvall.
That's so weird. It just seemed like such a weird out of place thing.
Well, he did it for free. The only thing he did, he did it in trade for an Eddie Bauer jacket. The director, Philip Kaufman, gave him. They're friends. Yeah. They had just finished some other movie together. He just finished some other movie with him. And he said, yeah, you want to just look like a priest for 2 minutes and swing on the stage?
I'll go swing if you give me that Eddie Bauer jacket.
And that must be another thing that the passage of time does to you. I'm sure if you watched that in 1978, you're creeped out by it. But yeah. watching it in 2014, it's just weirdly funny.
Yeah.
It made me, just hilarious.
It made me laugh. I screen capped it because he's wearing the craziest boots. I mean, those boots were made for dancing. They were go-go boots.
The swinging it was so grating. I mean, you're just like, who is on that swing? Somebody get off. Oh, look, it's the preacher guy.
It's the priest with a bunch of kids. Great. That's not weird at all in 2014. And then finally, on the trivia there, we got Harry the Homeless Banjo playing guy. It was actually performed by the Grateful Dead frontman Jerry Garcia. So the actual music.
Okay.
Not the actor.
That wasn't Jerry Garcia's rubber face on that dummy.
No. I was really almost flummoxed for a second because I'm so used to seeing CGI in modern movies. This was 78. I was like, immediately, how'd they even do that?
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Bizarre practical effect.
Yeah.
Right.
It's and I want to know where I can get one of those for my dog.
And the thing, thing that nails it is when the dog licks through the mask. When his long tongue comes to the mask.
Yeah. It's just horrible.
Brian, you could go as big red hair, puby haired Donald Sutherland, and you could bring your dog around with that mask on. Right? That would be brilliant. Sorry, Randy, I cut you off. What?
I got a piece of trivia that you didn't
trivia?
Hit.
Give me, get what?
So it's a trope, actually. It's the trope of the broken joke, right?
The broken joke.
Remember Matthew is telling this joke to Elizabeth, and she cuts him off, and you never... So here's the full joke. Full joke goes like this. So the English camels are trapped in the Sahara Desert. They've been surrounded by Rommel for 40 days, and they've run out of food. The captain makes an announcement to the men. Men, I have some good news for you and some bad news for you. The bad news is we have nothing left to eat but camel poop. The good news is there's plenty of it.
That's the joke.
That's the whole joke.
Oh, I'm glad they didn't finish it because that was terrible. That was a bad joke.
It was bad. It was bad watching a movie to have a joke half told because you get the feeling that they actually didn't have a joke.
Well, it's like
not our first movie where that's happened.
No, you're going to Breakfast Club me up there, aren't you?
Yep. A poodle salami woman goes into a bar. With a rubber dog mask on her face. I can't remember the
poodle
thing.
Salami woman. That's how I remember it.
I'd actually written my opening was going to involve that joke continuing, but I was going to be with Lois Lane and Ian from Jurassic Park. And I went through all these names and all centered around Lois Lane. And then when I realized it wasn't her, I was heartbroken.
I've done that before on the show where I swore somebody was a certain person the whole time. And I just didn't verify it because it seemed so obvious. And then at the end, I was like, oh. Shoot. Well, there goes all those jokes. Or I did one where I had a great thing to talk about on the show where I was sure the person, it was the Eddie Murphy one we just did. I was sure that Uncle Dave, who ran the fake thing, I was sure he was a turncoat and at the end was going to be exposed for being the one that was like out of money and had to do all this dastardly stuff. He was really the mastermind. I was sure I remembered it that way.
Did it because the insurance he was
played,
money.
He was played as such a dolt.
Yeah.
That you just wanted to, you wanted that to be a twist.
Yeah. Like Mom from Futurama, who's like, you know, I love the robots we make. And then behind the scenes, she tears off that fat suit and chews her kids out all the time.
Speaking of fat people.
Yeah.
What about that belly rubbing during the mud bath scene?
Oh, gosh.
That was hard to watch.
Boy, I stopped snacking right then during the movie.
Right? Oh, man. They're rubbing the fat man's belly.
Yeah.
Another scene that was shot at a kind of funny angle.
Yeah, that was weird.
Now that I think about it. I remember one of the, I mean, it's very gross. The whole thing, the whole spa is really dirty.
Everything about that place is disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They had some Steadicam moments as well in this movie where they were kind of, like getting in people's faces and when in these really close, closed in environments. So I think there was a lot of intentional.
They did some of that in there too.
Intended claustrophobia.
Well,
probably.
here's the question in that place though, because there was another chick in the bucket for me. It's where maybe I just don't remember, but Goldblum was digging into the pot or into one of the mud baths,
because
it was bubbling. Did he pull something out?
No,
I thought he didn't pull anything out because I thought he was going to pull something out because they kept showing.
That's what I mean. He goes, I found something. And then people are like, what'd you find?
Something like that he made some joke that Veronica Cartwright didn't laugh at. Like, oh yeah, there's probably the remains of some guy here who vanished in, you know, 20
years
ago.
Oh yeah, who died of the heart attack. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
He was in here for a week or something.
Right.
The scene that kept cracking me up, though, I kept laughing every time there was a trash truck and they were throwing away the pods. Yeah,
throwing
down the Oh man, and it's like nobody saw it.
Yeah.
We were, you know, it was totally audience only. It was like, yeah, we get it. Morons.
Well, you just see, you know, waste disposal people and you figure they're disposing of waste and you don't really question it, I guess, or at least that's the conceit. But I just found all of the special effects in the movie actually kind of amazing for the time. So like when the plants first got their little spread out, you know, the weird.
Oh, you're talking about the opening scene where they're like protoplasmic.
Yeah, I thought that stuff was great. Looked really cool. And it was actually on the leaves itself and they were spreading. It didn't look dumb to me. Everything, even the pod people, when they were kind of half formed was cool. When he chopped his own head in half to kill the pod.
No. When he hoed his own head in half.
That's right. He hoed it. Right. When they were doing all that stuff.
Like a hoe.
It was head like a hoe. It was really effective. Like practical effects I thought were pretty awesome. And the only time I really struggled was some of the stop motion bits where the little pieces were coming at him. Like the little furry bits were trying to creep over to his hand.
Yeah, because that normally is something that would really freak me out. Like any type of little worm like that, little tendril, it's a very creepy thing. Mm-hmm. And when they show those pods first on the plants and they're having those little tendrils come out, and you kind of see the way they look like they're being pulled by fishing line. It's that's too bad, because that would be a really, really creepy thing.
But then when it was under the skin of the face, I don't want to know how they did it. I really don't.
It looked really, really good.
Right.
It was one of those things where I'm like, you'll ruin the magic trick for me if you tell me how they did it, because it was very effective.
And when she sloughed off and fell away, that was gross.
Yeah, like, the practical effect of Karen Allen's lookalike.
Right, Lois.
You know,
that was great. Yeah, that was actually Karen Allen, wasn't it? Or no, that was the other one that I'm always confused. Brooke Adams, yeah.
I think she's more like Karen Allen than Margot Kidder.
I know all three of them would get kind of confusing. That she's the one from Indiana Jones, by the way, for those who don't know. All three of those ladies kind of look similar to me in my mind. But when she was showing her boobs, I was like, I don't remember ever looking up Margot Kidder boobs. I don't remember seeing that, and that was also
you don't remember looking up Margot Kidder boobs.
Right. That was like the most Carolina thing you've said in a long time. When she was showing her boobs, like, okay, that's just amazing. Like the mud bath scene, I liked how that was intended to creep you out.
Right.
Like, I don't want to say she had like dirty breasts or something, but it was presented in a way that you're like, oh wow, that woman's naked and she is still coming. She's coming to reform. You know,
this movie was PG on IMDb, and I'm assuming that it was.
It is PG. You forget.
This kind of brought up a question in my mind. I'm like, okay, so did we allow that?
Yes, we've talked about this. We have talked about this many times. The PG rating back in the day was boobs were allowed, man. I mean, go watch Clash of the Titans, which was PG, and kids went and saw it in droves. There were multiple boobs and butts in that movie.
Did they ever like re-rate movies like when they come out on?
Nope.
You know, like DVD or Blu-ray. Are you sure about that? I'm not sure. I'm just asking this question.
I recall some movies being re-rated, but this one clearly wasn't.
I know one that was. Saturday Night Fever. Didn't that have, maybe it was the other way though. I don't remember now. Saturday Night Fever had some kind of re-rating from like PG to R or back the other way maybe. I don't remember. But yeah.
And so did Grease once they realized that John Travolta was saying, when he was that P wagon that he was, I can't say it on here because that's.
Hey, let me break in here real quick. Talk to you about our friends at the Texas Beard Company at texasbeard.com. Now you're saying to yourself, Scott, I've got a luxurious beard and it's just fine. I keep it trim. I do what I have to make it the most awesome thing that any lady has ever beheld. And I would say to you, well, great, that sounds great, but how do you maintain your luscious beard? How do you keep it clean? Groomed? Do you use the right product? These are all really important questions. And keep in mind, everybody here on FilmSack has some beard of some sort. How do we take care of ours? Why we go to texasbeard.com. The Texas Beard Company has so many options for those who love the hair on their face. Incredible products. And it's just right for you. How about we save you a little bit of money? How about you use the code FILMSACK, all one word, FILMSACK, for 20% off your entire order. And there's always free shipping to anywhere in the U.S. over $25. Shop at texasbeard.com today. And again, use that code MORNINGBEARD and save 20%. Oh, I love Texas Beard. So will you. That's texasbeard.com.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, apparently Margot Kidder's done plenty of nude things, by the way.
Right.
Wow.
Oh, has she?
Yeah.
See?
Sorry about that.
I know Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom was a big example of they wanted it re-rated because
it was
a PG. There was no PG-13 at the time.
Right.
And the whole monkey brain thing.
That was it?
That was the thing that pushed him over the edge?
That movie and Gremlins is my understanding.
The heart grabbing would be the...
Yeah.
Aren't those two, though? Those are the two movies. The Temple of Doom and Gremlins were the two big movies that pushed that new rating. PG-13 kind of came out of
it. But Gremlins was the first one with PG-13, wasn't it?
I don't think so.
Is that right there, Scott?
I don't think so.
I think it might be.
So let's see. If it's rated now... No, PG.
No, is it?
Well, came out in 84, same year as Temple of Doom. When did we get 13? Like a year later or something?
Yeah. Maybe it was the Goonies that I'm thinking of that was the first PG-13.
No, that's before this.
It was in my wheelhouse. I can't remember.
Here's the point. The point is, what was the point? Oh, good practical
ratings.
Effects. Good job, guys. No, these movies, there was no, I mean, unless you had like full-on sex or you had really gratuitous violence, you'd get a PG back in the day. And
Scott,
it wasn't
I think
a
surprise.
What?
You're going to be surprised at the first PG-13 movie.
Let me try to get this.
I'm not going to be surprised. I refuse to be surprised.
I want to see if I can get it.
I'm not showing any emotion.
I want to see if I can get it.
1984.
Okay, no 84. Emotion. I'm going to say... Oh, I used to know this.
Back to the Future?
No.
I'll give you another
85.
Clue. I'll give you a big clue.
Okay.
Patrick Swayze.
Roadhouse?
Nope.
No?
Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing?
Dude, if Roadhouse was PG to PG-13, there's something really wrong.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Now that I think about it, terrible guess. So, Wayne.
Dirty Dancing was later, right? That was 87.
Yeah,
was 84, Patrick Swayze, Way Too Early for Ghosts. What was he?
Right, Way Too Early for Ghosts.
That's too early for the surfer one, too.
Right.
Point Break.
Wow, I can't even think of anything
Hold on. I got to know this. I got to know this without...
So I'll give you some more while you think about it. So allegedly the first one that the ratings board saw and put PG-13 on was the Flamingo Kid, the Matt Dillon movie.
Oh.
However, this movie is the first one released with PG-13 on it. What is it?
I know it. It has to be the Jennifer Grey thing and Red Dawn.
Yes, that is correct.
Oh.
I did
because commies. That's why PG-13.
Yeah.
If you were over the age of five in 1984, you might think that this happened a lot later.
I thought it happened later, and
I don't remember any boobs in that one either. Was it scary? What was
no, it was just violent.
Violent?
Yeah.
Kids getting killed.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the first Hunger Games. Oh yeah, I forgot.
Yeah.
The first Hunger Games.
That's right.
According to this, the PG-rated Temple of Doom and Gremlins were the two movies that pushed the MPAA to extend.
Parents came home and said, "No,
yeah.
We need something."
I think it's. I don't know why Indiana Jones was targeted that way.
Gremlins because they said Santa was dead in the chimney, and so they needed to.
No, it's because they microwaved each other and like.
There was some splatter. I don't know about gore, but definitely some splatter.
Right. Core splatter,
but it's just puppet splatter. It's so dumb.
Puppet splatter, right?
Right. And the fact if it's the brains scene in Doom that really pushed him over the edge, that's terrible because what should have pushed him over the edge is dude having his heart torn out.
Yeah, that was scary.
Tommy
and showed to him.
Chuck T Day. What's that guy say? Onam Shivai. Onam Shivai. Onam Shivai. Ah, my heart's out. That was it.
See, that's the occult. We were really big and hard and heavy bad on the occult. I mean, even Michael Jackson had to put. Thriller at the beginning of the Thriller video. This dude deals with the occult. You might not want to watch it.
Yeah, I don't. Those were dark times, dumb times.
Right.
How about this trope here? When are you going to stop calling people who have been turned? In other words, hey, old man Sutherland, you don't have to get on the phone and call the cops every time when you know they're going to find out who you are and they've all been turned. Quit calling the authorities.
NSA, man. He was an easy target.
Every time he did it, I was like, what are you doing? Get off the phone.
What's weird is he says, we're the only people left who haven't turned. I need to make a phone call that doesn't involve an operator. I'm like, what? Wait.
And he still couldn't get it through his thick skull, even when.
Mr. Bunnell, how do you know my name? How is that? How is this possible?
What's going on? That was so stupid.
I've even seen the pods, and I still don't get it.
That was so stupid. Idiot.
Were you thinking that when he's, you know, running towards the boat and they're playing Amazing Grace?
Yeah.
It's like, well, so you're just basically going to say, well, all right, this will never make it across the ocean to wherever I'm going here.
Was it Danny Boy? Or was it Amazing Grace? What was it?
It was Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace. Grace.
Okay.
I just heard
bagpipes, and I was like,
yeah.
Kind of weepy.
I was angered. That felt so tropey to me.
Yeah. Super tropey. The end was tropey as all hell and back. And I felt bad for I felt bad for Alien Lady, although it was probably nice of her to not be knocked off in the first 10 minutes of her movie.
It scared the crap out of me. I didn't see this at the theater, but I did see it on TV, like not that much. I guess about maybe 82 or so. I saw it on TV.
Uh-huh.
And I remember seeing the end was really impactful to me because I had not seen a movie where the basically, spoiler, the whole world loses. You know, we always somehow come through, but in this movie, no, we don't.
I respect that in movies, though. I like it when as much as some of the stuff they did at the end kind of bugged me, I like it when a movie's brave enough to say, you know what, we kind of lost this one.
So, right.
Really doesn't leave room for a sequel, though.
No, it doesn't.
No, but
oh,
that's,
sure.
Well, you could, but
sure,
humans make a comeback.
Some other people who figured it out who were holed up in a...
right.
Who knows where, somewhere shopping mall, and they're going to figure out how to turn them.
Like,
they're easy to kill anyway, because all I got to do is just go take the alarm axe and pull it first and then chop the lights out and burn everybody up.
A recent example of this for me was Quarantine, the first one.
Right.
And where Dexter's sister is the only one left, and eventually she gets it too. Sorry, spoiler time's up, everybody. Go see the movie.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
It's been years. Everybody gets killed in that. And I like that because when the credits roll, you're like, oh, we're done.
I guess we can go now.
I kind of like that. I wish it would happen more. And people are afraid to do it. I think filmmakers are generally afraid to do it. Because
I don't think they can. Usually I think the producers go, no.
Well, that's what I mean.
Better make somebody live.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, the Hollywood in general is afraid to do that unless it's some weird dark indie thing that nobody thinks is too mainstream. But if you take a mainstream movie, which this would have been considered at the time, a big thriller, you know, and with a sci-fi twist and then have people survive, that would have been just too easy. And I like that they didn't, so I'm glad they didn't.
I'm trying to think of the last big movie we saw, you know, that ended with an end, a firm, definite end.
That we saw or just... the last
no,
big movie
just in general, just
that.
Like you go see the movies nowadays, and it's Hunger Games and it's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Nowadays,
yeah, they don't know in theaters, no, for sure. Yeah. But if I've seen some, I've probably seen something Netflixy, you know, like, oh, that's a weird thing I didn't know he was in. They did last year that nobody knew about. Let's see what that's about. And then
how did Monster end?
Oh, you know what? Cabin in the Woods ended that way.
Oh yeah, yeah, they sure did, didn't it? By the way, spoiler: that one's
it's old enough.
Yeah, and you're not giving away the big secrets of Cabin in the Woods, so sure.
Yeah,
right.
Hey, a bunch of people die in a horror movie.
What's the big secret?
Wow, what a surprise!
I know. I don't want to.
Jeez,
wipe
Tucker,
anybody's...
Tucker and Dale. What do they do? Don't tell me. Don't
they
don't
must
put it right in the title?
Yeah,
just live.
All right. Here's some clips. Should we do clips? Let's do clips. We got clips.
Yeah. Two clips.
Yeah. Okay. I've got some for you here. They begin with this one, which is the discordant soundtrack. It's not even really music through this most of this movie. Very 70s thing to do. Here's a piece of it. Now, if memory serves, this is the very reason that I don't like most... When I was a kid, I did not like most anything made in that time period because I think because of what they used for music and tone. And
yeah, it was just sound Foley work. It was mostly just...
Well, even the one I always complain about with the Winnebago getting chased by giant rocks out in the desert, pretty sure they used that kind of thing in it. And it just sits wrong with me. I hate it.
Even with what you just played, though, it really needs the visual. Like... I was just thinking if that, you know, if you'd taken that and then put it in a dirty mud bathroom, I'm like so much more creeped out.
Yeah. No, you're right.
When you're rubbing on a fat guy. Yeah.
That would have been all right.
Totally creeped out.
Here is my favorite. That was a pretty good mud bath impression you just did.
Sure.
Yeah,
that and your Cosby. Top notch.
Well, you got to change that one up today, though. You can't be.
Well, no, you should have heard him the other day on TMS. He was owning it. It was amazing.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Here's my favorite line in the whole movie. It was early.
It's a rat turd.
There you go. It's a rat turd. Yeah. It's a rat turd.
Get better.
Here's a longer one.
A what? A rat turd.
A keeper.
A rat turd.
A keeper.
I expect a freaking Monty Python sketch out of this thing.
Let's begin Disney's Great Rat Turd Caper.
I'd see a movie called The Great Rat
Turd Caper. The Great Rat Turd Caper, sure.
President Snow in there. All right, here's, I like his food talk.
Something wrong with the baked potato. Either the sour cream is phony or the chives or the butter.
I'm really sorry, Matthew. I got up on time. It was Jeffrey.
What?
It was Jeffrey.
Those two clips got smushed together. I don't know why those.
He was such a jerk.
Who, Jeffrey?
No, Sutherland.
Oh, yeah.
It was the same clip. It was a weird, you hear a weird audio thing going on with the overdub
that you don't hear
during the movie. Yeah,
it was like studio overdub and they just erased the rest of the sound.
Did you guys think that Jeffrey was playing like NBA 2K14 when he had his headphones on? Did you guys? And then I remembered, oh yeah, this is like 1978.
Yeah, for a second. Yeah. You know what it is? We're all getting into big cans again, right? Because we went through that whole period of headphones must get smaller every decade until they're tiny, and now we're going back the other way, which is unfortunate, in my opinion. Something.
I like big cans.
You like the big cans?
I do like the big cans.
I cannot lie.
I prefer cover that whole damn ear.
Nice.
With your cans.
Here's, I wrote Not My Wife. I don't know what this is.
That Not My Wife.
Oh, the Chinese guy.
Yes, the dry cleaners.
The dry cleaner.
I forgot about him. He was great.
I couldn't figure out if it was.
That's Not My Wife.
And we're so
sensitive. That's Not My Wife.
We're so sensitive now to racism, and you know you don't want to do that impression, but it just works so well.
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't think
it was really meant to be offensive, though.
No, it wasn't. That's why it's offensive now, because they didn't know what they were doing.
Right,
and it sounds great.
That Not My Wife.
That Not My Wife. You can tell he's not even like actually from China. You know, he's like born
here. Definitely not. He's like the rat from last week.
He's faking it.
He does it better than the Elmo
guy. Like
we watched Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles last week, people.
Like the rat from last week.
Whatever his name is.
Splinter.
Splinter. Master Splinter.
That is awesome. All right.
Turd.
I was glad I missed Sliver
last week.
Sliver's pretty good. Goldblum doing what he does best.
The book is awful. Kibner's book is awful. His ideas are garbage. Kibner's ideas are pure garbage.
How can you say that about a man like Kibner?
I'm not saying it about a man like Kibner. I'm saying it about Kibner.
That's so him.
It's so Goldblum.
Yeah.
Look, let me drop some. Let me put a drop of water on my wrist, and I'll show you what kind of a phony Kibner is.
Chaos.
That's chaos.
That's a big pile of shit, or whatever he says.
That's why old ladies pinch babies.
He's great, and he looks cool now. That guy is cool.
He does. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? He's gotten better looking with age too. Yeah,
I like him.
Yeah, I think so. Hey, Sky, did you catch that audio clip where the creepy guy was standing through and was staring through the frosted glass? When I'm talking about?
I know the part, right. But I don't think I got audio from it.
Yeah, where she's walking down the hall and there's just the guy staring through the glass.
He's like half an inch away from the glass.
Right before the rat turned in the glass
scene.
That was another moment where Kim turned to me and said, what the hell's going on?
What?
Yeah. She came in late. She didn't understand where we were headed here. She hasn't seen this movie.
No. She's to be forgiven. Yeah. Regardless of whether she came in late.
Because I was watching it going, what?
Yeah, this movie has a ton of these WTF things where you have to strain to remember what in the world it is related to. And then when you get it, you just missed 30 seconds of something.
Yeah, look how long it took us to get to at least some semblance of why the dog was in there. Like, it took us forever to get down that road.
Even with Brian Dunaway's help, it still took me half an hour to understand that.
It's still a scratcher, right?
Here, have a piece of celery that's only been in the skillet for 8 seconds.
Yeah, there you go. Here's some conspiracy.
Oh, the walk scene.
Some conspiracy for you.
Right, of course, it's a big conspiracy.
What's a conspiracy?
Everything.
Everything's a conspiracy.
You don't know what a conspiracy is? It's when you think one thing is it's something, but it's.
I think he meant, what do you mean is specifically what's
don't call me? Don't call me Shirley.
Yeah. He should have said what is a conspiracy as opposed to what's a conspiracy. There's something about that that just sounds like he's asking for the definition of the word.
One second, I'll Wikipedia, please.
Here's Spock speaking. So here's Spock right now.
It has everything to do with it, don't you see? People are stepping in and out of relationships too fast because they don't want the responsibility. That's why marriages are going to hell. The whole family unit is shot to hell.
David, you're not listening to what she's saying.
Matthew, please stay out of this.
Shut up, Donnie. You don't know what you're talking about. Yeah.
He spends the whole movie telling people to not talk.
Yeah. That's
like,
people are surprised.
Yeah. I actually thought about asking you, Scott, to just grab every clip of Leonard Nimoy telling someone that they're not allowed to talk right now.
Shut up. He did it a lot. He did. But my favorite part of that clip was this.
It has everything to do with it. Don't you see?
Don't you see?
Don't you see?
Don't you see what I'm saying?
That's his In Search Of voice there was what that was.
A little bit. I used to love that. I used to love In Search Of.
Same time frame.
Couldn't abide by the ears, though. So he would do In Search Of and be standing there explaining Cosmos stuff and all that. And his ears were normal. And I was so Trekified that I just couldn't deal with it. I could not deal with that guy standing there without pointy ears. Really? Here's Weird Spock is what I wrote. I don't know why I wrote that.
Matthew. Take her home to her boyfriend.
Take her home to her boyfriend. Because you know what, Matthew? You're a jerk.
Yeah. Well, he's a super jerk. Here are some great screams for you. We always like good screams, right?
Oh, yeah.
There you go. I don't remember.
That's Mudbath. That's mud when she finds the not quite formed the Goldblum. Jeff Goldblum. Mm.
Yeah. And so, is this true, or am I wrong in assuming that because Jeff Goldblum had a bleeding booger over there, that's also his pod person would just mimic that while he had it?
Yep.
Right.
Okay. That's taking a little
far. One of the hardest things for me to get as the movie was going along was that the people were being replaced. I thought for the longest time that there was a clone now in addition to the person.
Right. And you need a Margot Kidder's lookalike to dissolve in front of you to understand what they were throwing away.
Yeah,
right.
It was just weird. I didn't cotton on to what was happening for a good hour before I realized, okay, they are absolutely being replaced. This is not just there's a bunch of duplicates running around now. Mm-hmm. And it helped a lot because I was expecting duplicates. The longer the movie went, the more I'm like, where are the duplicates?
Yeah, I'm with you. I kind of expected a warehouse at some point with a bunch of hanging bodies, and those were the originals, and they were being harvested for their power or something.
No, you saw the warehouse. It was a incubation kind of place, and it had a steamroller in it. Did you guys catch the steamroller going by inside the thing? I'm like, what the?
You mean the incubation warehouse that's incredibly, its great weakness is lights that can be chopped down with an axe? That was so dumb.
I like to think of that as the grow-op.
Yeah.
The grow-op.
The grow-op, nice.
Yeah. I like to think of it as pod fading.
Well, here's some more. Oh, very nice. Oh, my gosh. If we didn't already have a title for the episode, that'd be it. Here's the weird music again and more of it.
Okay,
that just sounds like my kid messing around with a Casio.
It's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
But it was the thing they used to do, and I hated it. It made me feel creepy when I was a kid. I didn't like it.
It was like there was two levels of the soundtrack in this, because it was actually genuine movie music, and then there was that stuff that was kind of like over the top.
Yep. Sometimes. Very rare was the movie music, though. It was mostly that weirdness. Here's some angry acting. We always like that.
Nobody. What are you talking about? Did you check the last booth? Did you check?
Everywhere.
Hey, did you? Hey. No, did you check the last booth on the left?
There's no body there.
It's got to be.
I just love.
That's exactly. Who's making that noise? It's perfect.
Yeah, that's good.
I love it.
That's to be Randy.
That's Randy. Nice job. Yep. He's a Foley artist.
Yes, I am.
Here's something about a space flower.
What are you talking about? A space flower?
And then a reply.
Well, why not a space flower?
You know, why not indeed? Why not a space flower?
I like where she just dumped right in the middle of that her conspiracy theory of aliens coming and mating with the monkeys.
Yeah.
And it's all evolving. I love that.
Here is, what's this? Oh, this is great Sutherland moment. Here you go.
Don't touch her. David, don't let them touch her. David, don't let them touch her.
Don't let them touch her. Don't let them touch her.
Why, he knew it wasn't David at this point, so why was he trying to reach the human side of David? Because he'd already seen pod people.
I know why. Here's why.
It's a rat turd.
That's why.
By the way, that don't let them touch her thing was the only moment in the movie when I thought his accent sounded Canadian.
Oh, weird. Yeah, interesting. I didn't know he was. Is he Canadian? I didn't know that.
Oh,
no, I had no idea. The Sutherlands of Canada? Great. Uh-huh. All right. Well, fine import they are. Let's move on to this one. Oh, there's this weirdest squeak sound in the movie. So I captured it because I like the weird sounds that don't seem to fit anywhere. And so here it is right here.
What are you?
There. Isn't that awesome?
It looks like somebody let loose a tiny little fart they were really trying to hold back.
Yeah, I don't even remember the context, but listen to it again. It's really great. Here you go.
What are you?
Was that when he walked by the guy who was flossing his teeth on the street?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. What was the deal with that?
I don't know. I don't know.
The guy sitting in front of the park on on one of those plinth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Picking his teeth.
Yeah.
And suddenly even looked at him too. It's like, what are you even doing here?
What are you
picking
his teeth and holding the fart really hard. And squeaks out.
That one's gonna get some future play. All right. How about Spock Says Things?
We came here from a dying world. We drift through the universe from planet to planet, pushed on by the solar winds. We adapt and we survive.
In Search Of. There you go.
Right. That's
and there's the part of the movie where suddenly he sounds like Spock.
Yeah.
Like really like Spock.
Yeah, he did. And right after that, after he was killed, he went,
what are you?
All right. There was another shoe squeak, so I thought maybe it was it, but I don't think this is the same. Oh gosh, but that was somebody's foot in the hallway.
That's when they broke out into a basketball game right in the middle of the movie.
Whenever I hear that squeak sound, I don't think of actual basketball. I think of NBA Jam every time. Really? Here is the gross sounds of Karen Allen being melted. Okay, not really her, but the other actress. Here you go. To be followed with this. I love it. I don't know why I like that, but I like that. We're going to keep that one as well. And then Scott Fletcher.
It's a rat turd.
All right. And then when they tried to make a deal with the pod people.
What kind of a deal?
See, I got to get that in there somehow. And then they were attacked by the
Windiggy.
All right, moving on. Let's get to the film sack checklist, which starts right here. Let's see. The checklist is ugliest actor of the 70s. Check. Got him in there. Great. Spock in bad pants. Check. By the way, no one in Star Trek has a butt. Just check. Next time you see, look at them, they don't have butts.
Oh, whoa.
They don't. None of them. McCoy.
Mind blown.
No butts. Everyone has no butt. All Jeff Goldblum characters are a little insane. Check. Our Star Trek connections this week. Sherman Labby, a production illustrator, was a storyboard artist for Star Trek, the animated series. So
that's it. That's our only Star Trek connection.
Yep, there's no more. Oh, wait. Ben Burtt, special effects and sound effects. 4-time Academy Award winning sound designer and editor who designed the special sound effects and montage for the 2009 Star Trek. Also did all the work on all 6 Star Wars films to date. And that's it. No other Trek connections. All right. Leonard Nimoy played Dr. Kibner and some Vulcan guy on Star Trek. So there you go. I'd give it a WST for its soundtrack grade. For what soundtrack? It was all right, I guess.
Oh, the banjo music was great.
It only lasted like a second.
That's all we needed.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if that dog became their sidekick and helped them escape?
Oh,
come on, follow me.
Yeah.
Follow me.
I just want that
He's in the
in,
well. I know
I
the
want
way.
That dog in other things. Like, I want it to be the dog on 2.5 Men or something.
That'd be great. Like, I think he's probably dead.
Oh, how about the dog that Ed O'Neill is in love with on Modern Family?
Sure, why not? Those dogs live more than 14 years or so. It should be no problem having him here. Just handed to me. Oh, no, this hasn't been handed to me. We got a Twitter post to do, and that's been handed to me. 140 characters or less. Randy, go.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the 1978 version with Donald Sutherland. Here I am, you pod bastards. Hey, pods, come and get me, you scum. Wee. Wee.
I like it. You could have done this. Where is it? You could have done. I can't find it now. Damn it.
Well, why not?
No, not you.
Well, why not?
No.
What are you?
There you go.
I just love how that guy seemed like he was skipping off into a joyous thing. Yeah. Like, woo, off I go. I'm going to get eaten.
It was weird.
And the bad guys are always fooled. They're never faked out by the misleading distraction. Yeah. Like, hey, let's go get him. Yep. He's obviously wanting to get caught.
Yep. Tropey trope McTropes.
Oh, you want all of our attention? You got it.
That's right. Hey, police, a motorcycle. Come with me. Let's go over there.
Dunaway, your turn.
Oh, yes. Invasion of the Body Snatchers. I want to see the movie where it's the guy's body with a dog's head and plays a fiddle. Can dogs play fiddles? Chins.
Weird. And then finally, Brian Ibbett.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers. If nothing else, it teaches us that the easiest way to get rid of Jeff Goldblum is to tell him that there's someone over there interested in his work.
Right?
Now, I feel like redhead, you know, redhead with the white shirt on?
No, blue redhead with blue a blue dress.
You just hit on something. All of these roles that he's in are him being misunderstood and brilliant. Think about that. He's misunderstood in ID4. He's misunderstood in Jurassic Park, but yet somehow brilliant. Like, that's his thing.
Definitely. But then there's also this thing about him where he's not lawful good. You don't ever get that impression. You know?
Yeah.
He's just a shade away in every character. I'm not talking about when he's just outright the bad guy, but like when he's trying to be the good guy. He's not entirely the good guy.
I agree.
When has he ever been outright the bad guy? I'm trying to think.
The Fly.
The Fly also.
No, he wasn't outright. He was exposed to the Fly brain.
Yeah,
wasn't his fault.
That's a hard call. I mean, the Western I mentioned, Silverado, he's definitely the bad guy.
Nah, see, I've never seen that.
That's good. You should. Silverado's great. Some of the best music in the history of Westerns.
Silverado.
Not that song.
Nope, that's not
definitely not that one. All right, I just had this handed to me here. Oh, where's the clippy clip? Here we go. Alternate titles for this film are either this, I waited 2 hours before I got to zoom inside Donald Sutherland's mouth, or... and they had no soundtrack on the credits. That was creepy. I didn't like that.
Oh, yeah.
I will have you all know that not only was this my first time watching this movie, I had never been spoiled for the last shot.
No.
Yes.
I was
good.
Completely, and apparently everybody's seen it. Like, people who haven't seen the movie have seen the
I've seen the screen end. Grab, but I didn't know what it was for.
So did it freak you out? How'd you feel? What was your...
I was glad it was all these over, years. Actually.
Okay.
You're so glad to be
well,
done.
Thank God he was invaded.
The other title is, in the end, he's always playing Spock. Oh, check it out. Emails. Stephen from Georgia, not the country, the recently ostracized Eastern European bloc country, but the state here in these United States. Dear Sackers, he says. Who is this? Stephen, yeah. I just had to write in to make a correction on a childhood hero of mine. Jim Henson did die of complications from pneumonia, but the great autobiography on Audible, Jim Henson, the biography, clarifies that he had been on a whirlwind trip. On May 4th, he complained about a sore throat, but continued traveling until the 15th when he started coughing blood. While rumors still swirl that he didn't see a doctor because of his Christian Science beliefs, family say he ceased practicing in his early 20s. It's more likely he just stayed too busy and didn't want to bother stopping. On the side note, Seventh-day Adventists do believe in medical treatment and run the largest not-for-profit multi-institutional healthcare system in the United States. So Henson definitely wasn't an Adventist.
Did y'all talk about this last week?
We did.
Oh, that's what I was about to say. I don't remember having this discussion.
No, it's good.
About the little turtle puppets.
Pizza. Yeah, pizza. Pizza. Oh, those shitty little things, dude.
Pizza. Pizza.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know why I want to correct you, but I just want you to know that the Eastern Bloc was a bunch of Eastern European countries.
Yeah. Wasn't Georgia one of those?
No.
So what you're telling me is,
while I was reading
an email correcting me about the demise of Jim Henson,
right?
You're correcting me about the demise of Georgia.
I just wanted
Georgia.
You to know. It's like Eastern Bloc is like Romania, Hungary, Poland.
I thought Georgia was
part of that.
Correctional email.
But they are part of what got shaved off the Soviet Union, though.
Geographer?
Right?
I regretted it. I said up front, I'm going to regret
this. Don't regret it. I should know these things. That's good to know. All right. RJ wrote in and says, hey there, sack holes. Nice.
Oh. Love
it.
Let me say I love the show and the Frog Pants Network, but I had to write in and give you guys some shit, he says.
Aww.
In the episode regarding Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yay, wasn't here.
You all missed the big name that voiced Donatello. It was none other than the greatest number two, Corey, out of two.
Okay, so yeah.
Corey Feldman did the voice.
It's buried in the IMDb credits.
You guys didn't know that?
Nope. I admit it. I didn't know.
That's why we needed you here.
Yeah.
Totally.
Thanks for letting us down, Dunaway. It's fine.
And you're welcome.
I don't see how you can give a shit over it. I mean, it's like, I don't know. It just wasn't germane to the discussion.
It's also not in the credits.
Not germane. How can you say Corey Feldman is not germane to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Because no one knows.
For example, we talked about how bizarre it is that their voices are how they are.
Yeah.
And it just didn't, I don't know.
They're turtles. They're teenagers.
But, But they're not but all. They don't all have the same voice. They all have different voices, and
well,
we just
we
got
all have different voices.
Yeah, but we didn't all come out of the same ooze.
No, just, a lot of people holding us over the fire on it, though. I heard it on Twitter as well. People are like, "Come on, man! I can't believe you guys didn't know that was him." I'm like, "We didn't.
I just didn't care.
I don't. None of us. Well, we already came into this saying we're not exactly big. It. We're really? Just. We already came in saying we're not big Turtles fans.
I hate that I missed last week, and it was my own fault. Well, it was my fault, not my fault. But anyway. I am a big Turtles fan, and I love this movie from back in the day, even though it's full of cheese. Yeah. And I really hate that I missed it and didn't do my service. I apologize.
It's all right. But where do you stand on the whole? I mean, is it that big a deal that Corey Feldman?
I think it is a big deal if you grew up during that time, because you were still, if you were fans of the two Coreys, I think it was very relevant. And I think any child who was,
where are their fans now? Why aren't they rallying now behind the one Corey who's left?
I don't know. Maybe there's kind of in that age group.
The Fairweather fandom is what that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, right? The Feldman really got the short end of the stick during the 80s, but the other Corey is now dead. So mm-hmm. you gotta rally behind the only Corey we got.
Yeah, there's only
last
one
living Corey. Our one surviving acting Corey.
You, is there, you right? don't see people naming boys Corey. It's not a common name anymore.
No. They stopped. No.
I'm trying to think. Do I know? I don't know anyone who's young who's named Corey.
No. Well, I mean, I know Corey Stockton.
Yeah, Corey Stockton.
Nowadays.
Yeah. You feel like his parents just didn't realize what was going on. Like they didn't pay attention to the two Coreys. That's not why they named him that.
I do like that New Jersey fellow, Corey Booker.
Yeah.
It's good people.
I like Corey Flintoff on NPR.
That's a good one.
I like him when Lisa Simpson says Corey Allegory.
Corey Allegory. That one's all right. How about Corey Hart? Hey, Ibbitt, sure. What's he doing? He knows he's got talent. What's he doing?
He's still wearing his sunglasses.
Oh, good. Well, then.
He's running into stuff.
So he can.
Actually,
so
he did a new acoustic version of that song this year that really? I think is really, really good.
We should do it on TMS.
It's all slowed down and dramatic.
Ooh. Well, that's what you get from your Corey Hart. Mm-hmm. That's it for emails. Our next movie, I don't even know. What is it?
Our next, while I'm looking that up, Ralph Baer passed away. I know you're going to talk about this on the morning stream.
Yeah.
Ralph Baer, inventor of all the things about the early video games.
The Odyssey was his. The first console ever made was that guy.
Speaking of names that nobody gives their kid, man, Ralph.
Yeah, Ralph.
Never hear somebody named Ralph.
Ralphie.
It's okay, Ralph. We love you.
He was 92, ripe old age. 92.
Oh, so yeah. It's a tragedy.
Yeah,
really.
Next week.
What? He had so much time.
Next week, my friends, we're watching Batman.
Yeah,
that's right. Batman.
The first Tim Burton one.
Yeah,
that does not hold up, in my opinion.
We'll see.
I don't think it'll
hold up. We're going to talk about Jack Nicholson so much that it's hard to hold it all in.
That's the one where the Joker killed his parents. I hate the retconning that story. I hate
it. We're going to talk about it next week.
All right. Next week, we'll do it. good idea. Good idea. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for being here. If you'd like to continue the conversation, go on over to filmsack.com because the comments and the message or in the blog posts are some of our favorite things. We'd love communicating with you guys in there. Your opinions are awesome. You're all great. So please keep doing that. That'd be wonderful. And if you haven't yet, go register and just do it. It's easy. We're not going to spam you or do anything weird. Just go and comment when the episode's up at filmsack.com. Filmsack@gmail.com is our email address. On Twitter @filmsack. Leave us a review on iTunes or wherever podcasts are found. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time.
Oh, that's a good boy. Who's a good boy?
Oh.
Who's
a good boy?
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
I can't stop laughing because I'm putting that weird dance music.
That was weird. I was like, what is that?
I just wanted to try something different. And when I picked it earlier, it seemed like a good idea. But now
maybe they'll think we've been invaded.
That was so weird. even I even knew what I was doing and it sounded weird. Anyway.